Good day to you, and welcome to this edition of Bible Truths. Today I want to talk about the subject of materialism. As we enter into the holiday season, especially that of Thanksgiving and Christmas, a lot of people are more material-minded than they are spiritual-minded. But before we begin today, I ask if you would open up your Bibles to the book of Proverbs and put a bookmark there, because we'll be going into that quite a bit during today's lesson. And once you have finished that, then turn to the New Testament, to the book of Mark in chapter 5, and we'll look at verses 1 through 20. It's Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 20. In the interest of time, we're not going to read the entire passage, but we're just going to look at a few of the verses in regard to this story. This is a story of a man who had a demon, but not necessarily just any demon, but a group of demons, which was referred to as legion in verse 9 of our text, Mark chapter 5. This was an individual who spent all his time living his life amongst the dead, for the living had rejected him. He was naked, homeless, wounded, and even uncontrollable, to the point if he was able to break shackles and no kind of restraints could hold him. And yet Jesus, when he came along, he was able to heal this man. Let's look at a little bit at our text here. Moving down to verse 8. It says, "For he said to him, Come out of the man, unclean spirit. Then he asked him, What is your name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he also begged him earnestly that he would not send him out of the country. Now a large herd of swine was feeding near the mountains. So all the demons begged him, saying, Send us to the swine, that we may enter them. And at once Jesus gave them permission. Then the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine. There were about 2,000, and the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea." Now, continuing on with the rest of the passage, it talks about the people who had owned the swine had fled and told it to those who were in the city and even into the country, and they came out to witness what had taken place. And they saw this individual who had previously the legion was sitting clothed and even in his right mind, and yet they were afraid. And it was in verse 17 of the passage of Mark chapter 5, it says, "Then they began to plead with him to depart from their region." These people had asked Jesus to leave. Why did they want him to leave? Here he is, the great physician, Jesus Christ, standing before them, offering healings, blessings, and even salvation from their sin. And yet they told him to move along. Why? Because I'm sure they were afraid to lose more swine or other things. Basically, they were saying, we want our hogs, and they desired more of the world, more of the worldly things than that of spiritual nature. And that's what we are talking about today in regards to materialism, is the hogs of the world. Here's some examples that you're probably familiar with. There is the hogs of dishonesty, popularity, entertainment and worldly pleasures, pride, riches and covetousness, and even the opinions of men. And of course, one or more of these hogs can all be linked together. As stated in verse 9, they were legion of demons, so as a group of hogs. But today we're going to look at materialism, which would be riches and covetousness. Now, a lot of people are going to admit that materialism is indeed a problem, but few themselves, they will admit that they themselves are material-minded. Some prefer the things of this world more than that of a spiritual nature. Now, one thing's for sure is we cannot live without money. We need it to pay bills, buy groceries, and keep the things that we own, such as houses, cars, and other things. And we can't live without those things, such as houses, cars, clothes, and even food. But the emphasis is misplaced on these materialistic things to overrule that which is spiritual. In Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 7, it says, "There is one who makes himself rich, yet has nothing, and one who makes himself poor, yet has great riches." Now, what this means is there are a lot of people who have a great amount of money, and yet they'll pretend to act very poor as if they don't really have a lot. And yet there are others who are poor, and they will act like they have the entire world to themselves. It is basically the mindset of the individual. Now let's look at the definition of what is materialism. From the American Heritage Dictionary, it's defined as the theory or attitude that physical well-being and worldly possessions constitute the greatest good and highest value in life. Another definition is a great or excessive regard for worldly concerns. Now, we're not saying that wealth or even the amount of money that a person has is sinful. Being rich is not sinful at all. It's the mindset of the individual who has these riches as to whether they are good or bad, whether it is sinful or not. In the scriptures, we're going to look at some examples of individuals who are rich and faithful men and rich and condemned. So let's start first with people who are rich and also faithful to God. Perfect example to start off with is that of Abraham. In Genesis chapter 13, looking at verses 1 and 2, it said that Abraham was rich in livestock, silver, and gold. If you turn to the book of Hebrews chapter 11, it's called the Heroes of Faith chapter. Hebrews chapter 11, looking at verses 8 and 9, it says, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called out to go to the place which he could not receive as an inheritance, and as he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. That's adding on verse 10. But here's an example of a faithful man who was also rich. Yet he had a great amount in livestock and silver and gold. He was still faithful to God and did what God told him to do. Another example is that of Job. In the book of Job, looking at chapter 1, verse 3, it says he was rich in livestock and had a large household. But in verse 8, God was talking to Satan. He says, have you considered my servant Job, one who is upright and blameless? And yet Satan said, well, the only reason he is upright and blameless is because he's got all this stuff. And yet God allowed Satan to take away everything that he had, and Job refused to give in and sin against God. And by the end of the book of Job, we see that Job earned twice as much as what he originally had. The final example we have is that of Joseph of Arimathea, found in Matthew chapter 27, verses 57 through 60. This is listed as a rich man, but he was also a disciple of Jesus. And he was the one who claimed the body of Jesus for burial. And he took and wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and buried him in his own personal tomb. So this shows that there are examples of rich men who are also faithful to God. Now let's look at the flip side of this and the rich people who were condemned. A perfect example to start with is that of the rich young ruler. From Matthew chapter 19, look at it, verses 16 through 22. We'll not read the passage due to time, but it explains this young man who ran up to Jesus and asked what he must do to inherit the kingdom. And Jesus replied by saying, keeping all the various commandments. And the rich young ruler replied saying, I have done all this, yet what do I lack? Because he felt that he lacked something more than just obeying the commandments. And Jesus said, sell all you have and give the money to the poor, and you shall have riches and treasures in heaven. And the rich young ruler was very sorrowful and left because he had many possessions. He did not want to give up all those possessions to inherit a greater treasure, and that is the kingdom of heaven. Another example we have is that of the rich fool, a covetous individual, from Luke chapter 12, verses 13 through 21. He had a great abundance of crops and yet no room to store them. So what he chose to do was tear down his buildings and build even greater still. That way he could put all his goods in there and take his ease. But God told him that that night his soul would be required of him and he would lose his life. So an individual like this, being covetous, was also condemned. Finally, we have the example of the rich man and Lazarus. It's read in Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31. The rich man fared sumptuously on a daily basis and was clothed in fine clothing. And Lazarus was an individual who had sores and was laid at the rich man's gate, hoping to just get crumbs from the man's table. But as it was, when both individuals died, it was Lazarus who was carried away by the angels to the bosom of Abraham. But Lazarus, the rich man, was found in torments, and he raised up his eyes and seeing Lazarus afar off. So he knew that at that point he was a condemned individual. I'd like to point out one more example, if I may, quickly. In the book of Revelation, chapter 3, we look at the church of Laodicea. Look at it, verses 14 through 17 of Revelation, chapter 3. It says, "Unto the angel of the church of Laodiceans write, These things say the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked." Here's a perfect example of a congregation that saw themselves as being rich and have a high social status, and the fact that they thought that they were the greatest congregation around, and yet they were poor, miserable, wretched, and blind, according to Jesus, because they gave up the spiritual things for the materialistic. Now, we know that there are many forms of materialism out there, and there's many different ways of looking at it, and we're going to look at some examples right now. If you turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 6, this is the middle of the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus was speaking. Matthew chapter 6, look at verses 19 through 21. It says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Many times people are constantly seeking out forms of materialism, seeking riches and other materialistic goods. And even those that have it, they continue to search out for more. Another example we have, staying in the book of Matthew chapter 6, is that of worry. People having great anxieties about the things that they have. Jumping down to verse 25, it says, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat and what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For all these things these Gentiles seek. For your heavenly fathers know that you need all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." In other words, they're saying, seek out the kingdom, or first seek out the spiritual nature, and the materialistic things will come and fall in place naturally. Finally, another example we have is that of focus on money and money alone. If you turn with me in your scriptures to 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10, we'll come across a very familiar passage. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10, it says, "For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." Now, a lot of people will misinterpret this phrase or even misquote it by saying money is the root of all evil. And that's not the thing. Money itself is not evil. It's the love of the money. And as we stated, it is the mindset of the individual. Now, don't get me wrong, we do need money and we do need materialistic things. As we stated before, it is the mindset of the individual to not put materialistic things ahead of the spiritual. And that's the next thing we want to look at in our lesson, is that of the dangers of materialism and the problem that it could be to which overshadows that of the spiritual nature. One of the things of the dangers of materialism is the fact that we can forget God. If you turn with me back to the Old Testament in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, we'll look at verses 10 through 12. Deuteronomy chapter 6, looking at verses 10 through 12. It's written there, "So it shall be when the Lord your God brings you into the land of which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities which you did not build, houses full of all good things which you did not fill, hewn out wells which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant. When you have eaten and are full, Then beware lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Here's a perfect example. All these things were given to those of the Israelites, given to them basically on a silver platter, handed to them free of charge. They did not have to do anything for them. And yet there's a danger of them forgetting who God is just by having all this stuff handed to them. Another parallel passage can be found in Proverbs chapter 30, looking at verses 7 through 9. But let's continue on. Another example of the danger of materialism is that it can choke the word, and we are, of course, referring to the word of God. Back in the New Testament, in the book of Luke, chapter 8 and verse 14, this is the explanation of the parable of the sower. Luke 8, 14 says, "And that which fell among the thorns, these are they that have heard, and as they go on their way, they are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and can bring no fruit to perfection." In other words, they accept the word as being true and accept it in a spiritual nature, but they forget it once they go back out into the world. And that's one of the problems with the denominations. They will be all mindful of terms of spiritual nature when they are in Sundays and in worship. But when they come home and go back into the world on Monday, when they return to their jobs, a lot of times they'll just forget what they learned as far as being a spiritual nature. Another example is 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 20. It says, "O Timothy, guard which that is committed unto thee, turning away from profane babblings and oppositions of the knowledge which is falsely so called." False doctrine can choke the word, especially to those who say that you need to give money to the church to assure your place in heaven. Another example of the danger of materialism is that of the possible to trust riches. Now let's turn to the book of Proverbs. We'll look at the problem of trusting riches instead of the spiritual. In Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 15, it says, "Rich people use their money as a stronghold and defense against other things." Proverbs chapter 11 verse 28 says, "Too much trust in money will bring about the end of some people." Another problem with danger of materialism is we could be greedy for more. We have some, but we want more still. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 27, "Some may desire money to the point of taking it from their own family members." Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 20 says, "A faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be unpunished." In other words, some people will make a hasty business deal or even a bad investment just to earn a quick cash, only to lose it in the end. Another danger of materialism is that of feeling superior. In Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 7, it says, "The rich rules." An example would be that of a high-powered position such as a CEO of a company who runs it more as a king or a dictator than just a boss of a business. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 23, it says, "The poor uses entreaties, but the rich answers roughly." Roughly is talking about force or violence. You've heard the phrase, "We want to crush the competition." Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 11, it says, "The rich man is wise in his own eyes, but the poor has understanding searches him out." This, of course, is talking about egotistical view. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17, Paul's warning to Timothy says, "Charge them that are rich in this present world, that they be not high-minded, nor have their hopes set on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy." So we want to make sure that God comes first in all decisions, especially those involving money or other materialistic things. So then what we need to ask then is, how do we go about preventing ourselves from materialistic things or materialistic thinking? How do we prevent the hog of materialism? Well, what does one do with a hog when it comes to full term? And that is butcher the hog, if you excuse their expression. Using Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 17, it says, "The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." If you're going to butcher something, you need a sharp implement. And in this term, we want to use the sword of the Spirit. The reason why? As found in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, it says, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." We need to understand that there are some more things that are more important and worth more to us than that of materialistic things. Once again, turn with me back to the book of Proverbs, and we'll look at some of the things which are worth more than that of materialistic things. First thing we want to look at is that of wisdom. Proverbs chapter 3, looking at verses 13 through 15, it says, "Happy is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding, for her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gain than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare with her." Here is an example. This is wisdom is more important than that of riches. Even Solomon, one of the most richest people on the face of the planet, sought out wisdom, being the wisdom of God, and finding it to be more important than that of riches. Another thing that is worth more is that of fear. Now, we're not talking about a fear of spiders or thunder and lightning. We're talking about fear as in a fear in God or as an awe in God's power and might. If you look with me in Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 16, it says, "Better a little with fear of the Lord than great treasure with trouble." Another example is found in Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 4, which says, "By humility and fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life." In other words, if you don't have any fear, then you might be one of those people who thinks you can buy your way into heaven. We need to have respect for God and be in fear of Him and His power and might and have the simple awe of His power to do what is right. Another example we have is that righteousness is worth more. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 8. It says, "Better is a little with righteousness than vast revenues without justice." In other words, it is better to be a righteous than to gain wealth dishonestly. Another example of something worth more than that of materialistic things is that of integrity. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 19, looking at verse 1. It says, "Better is the poor who walks in his integrity than one who is perverse in his lips and is a fool." Our life must be consistent with our beliefs, especially those in a Christian's life. There are people who will claim to be a Christian. They walk the walk and talk the talk. And even in the world, they show themselves to be Christians, but behind closed doors, they will sin against God. Our life must completely reflect the belief, whether we are out in the public or at home by ourselves. A further example of this is found in Psalm 26, verses 1 and 2. It says, "Judge me, O Jehovah, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in Jehovah without wavering. Examine me, O Jehovah, and prove me. Try my heart and my mind." Now, this is not daring God to do this, but it's showing that this individual's life is following the beliefs to where they are so confident enough to allow God to examine them and even test their integrity. Another example is that of a person having a good name over materialistic things. In Proverbs chapter 22, Proverbs 22, looking at verse 1, it says, "A good name is chosen rather than great riches, loving favor rather than silver and gold." Now, some people say, well, having a good name is really not that important. But let me ask you this. How many people do you know are named their children Judas or Jezebel? Finally, another example of that, of a thing more important than materialistic, is that of the soul. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 26, it says, "For what shall a man be profited if he shall gain the whole world and forfeit his life? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his life?" I'm sure you heard the phrase, "I'd sell my soul for this." Well, literally, it can't be done, but our actions show our motives, and basically it would put our wealth before all other things listed. Another thing we must do to prevent the hog of materialism is to set our affections on things above. And that's stated in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, and again in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. We must realize that riches will not help us on the day of judgment. In Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 4, it says, "Riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteousness, and delivereth from death." God does not care how big our bank account was or even what we had in our stock portfolio, but what we did for the kingdom. Materialistic things is not what life is about. In Luke chapter 12 and verse 15, it says, "A man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things that he possesses." In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 and 14, the last two verses of that book, it says, "To fear God and keep the commandments, for this is man's all." Riches are temporary things. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 7, it says, we brought nothing in and we can take nothing out. We need to learn contentment. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 11, Paul writes this. He says, Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. And he was saying this straight from prison. He was in shackles, and yet he said he was content. One final thing then is from Matthew chapter 6 and verse 34. It says, be not therefore anxious for the morrow will be anxious enough for itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. In conclusion, we ask, what would you want, the hog of materialism or the spiritual nature of Christ Jesus? Matthew chapter 6, verse 24 says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. If you are not a Christian today, perhaps you are too material-minded and focused on the present things and not your future, that is, your eternal future. Let me leave you with this verse from 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10. It says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall be dissolved with fervent heat, and the earth and the work that there are therein shall be burned up. Everything that is materialistic in this world will be destroyed with the earth. And you've heard the phrase, you can't take it with you. And this shows that it is very true.
Thank you for